today is found in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers concerning the experience of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We left off speaking to you last week that these men rose up against Moses and Aaron, and they had likewise 250 men with them, who were men that were princes in the congregation, men of renown. And they came unto Moses and to Aaron, and spake unto them, and said that they took too much upon themselves, that all the congregation was holy, and that they were wrong in doing what they were doing. In other words, they stood up against these two men because they thought that they had taken this work upon themselves. And this was wrong of these men because they had so many times proven to the congregation that God had chosen them, that God had sent them and placed them in this work. And here they were now with a great number of men rising up in rebellion against Moses and Aaron. This Korah, he was a cousin to Moses. He was of the tribe of the Levites, and he had his eye upon the priesthood. This is what he aimed at with this rising up and making rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And they likewise were speaking against God when they spoke this way. They were not only complaining to Moses and Aaron, but it was God who had placed these two men in this position, and in opposing Moses and Aaron, they were in rebellion against God. And therefore Moses, when he heard this, we find that he fell on his face. He fell in prayer. He didn't want to talk to them until he had something to say from God to them. He appealed unto God in heaven for a decision in this case and what he should do. And we find that he spoke unto them and said unto them that they should come the next day, tomorrow, and they should bring their censers with them, and that they should bring incense and fire along with them, and they should come to the door of the tabernacle. And God would show unto them who he had chosen and who was elected to do this work. These men were of the tribe of Levi. In the first verse, we have their names, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and a man by the name of An, son of Peleth. They were of the tribe of Reuben. But we don't read anything at all anymore of the last man's name, An. What happened to him, Scripture doesn't say. Whether he was given to see the wrong of what these men were doing and he turned back, it's possible that this was the case. But Scripture is silent. The rest of the men, they continued in their rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And Moses wants to put them to a test. He says, tomorrow all you men come to the door of the tabernacle with your censer and with your incense and with your fire. And then God will show who he has chosen for this work and who is holy amongst them. Ye take too much upon you, he says to these sons of Levi. They had said the same thing to Moses. They were taking too much upon themselves, but he puts it right back to them. And now he reminds them of the wonder that God had done for them. He says, is it a small thing for you people, he says, you Levites, that the Lord God of Israel hath chosen you to come near unto him, to minister unto him in the tabernacle? God had chosen this tribe for this purpose. They weren't any better than the other tribes, but God had made a distinction with them and placed them in this work. They were in a divine work, these men. They were chosen for this work by God himself. And they weren't satisfied with being just such men that ministered and was brought near to God, they wanted the priesthood too. This is what they aimed at. They weren't satisfied with this. And he says, seemeth it now a small thing to you that God has brought you near unto himself. My dear hearers, it isn't a small thing if God has brought us near to himself. Has he ever brought any of you near to himself? I am sure there are some listening to me that have at a time been brought near to God and can say with the psalmist, it was good for me to be near unto God. Why? Well, God gave you to be truth before him. God gave you to pour out his heart, your heart unto him, and to tell him just what you were and how good it was to be on your knees before God and to be near unto him, to feel his presence round about you, to be inspired by his blessed spirit in your very soul, and to be given to speak to him as he gave you to speak here. Oh, how true, how upright you are, how honest you are when you are before God, my hearers. Oh, it's good to be near unto God. You remember those times that you were ever near to God? Don't you long again that you would be brought near to him? Must you not complain that you feel yourself so far from him, that you have so little desire, even true desire, to be brought near to him, that you can go on with your form and with your lip service and think that that's satisfying to God? Oh, no, my hearers, a true child of God isn't satisfied with that. But they go on like this, many of them. Oh, it's so good to be brought near to God. Then you're childlike, then you're honest, then you're upright. And then you would like to live in this every day. Oh, there were a time maybe that you did live in it for quite a while. Oh, the presence of God was so dear and so sweet to your soul. This is what these men were called to do in the tabernacle. This was their work. They were given likewise to minister unto the congregation. Another great blessing when God gives a man to be called to be a minister and to minister unto his church here below. Oh, this is a wonderful work, my hearers. When God calls a person and puts a person in this work, then God is with that person. This is what Aaron was doing. God had placed him in this priest office. He likewise was chosen by God. He was set aside for this work. And now when these people rose up against Aaron and Moses, they were striking at God. You touched God's people, you touched the apple of his eye, and he will take it up for them. Moses had no fear. He knew who had called him. He had been given by God many a times to pray for these people, and God had many times turned his wrath away from them. He was their servant. He had proven that. But these men now stood up against him. And he told them that they should come the next day to the tabernacle. And this Korah, he must have been an impudent and a proud wretch, because he came the next day. You would think Moses gave him a night to sleep on it so that he would think it over. Oh, what this man thought of himself, that he could defy the Almighty and turn the Almighty to himself. How foolish this man was in this, what he attempted to do. This man, Korah, he came the next day to the door of the tabernacle, and 250 men with him. And it says that Korah, he gathered the congregation together too. So he just wasn't working with these 250 men. He went around through the congregation and he told the people, come to the door of the tabernacle and you'll see. God is going to show that I'm supposed to be the high priest, he was telling them. This is the way he influenced the people to come. Now, a lot of them came of themselves and a lot of them came out of curiosity, but there was a number of the congregation that came likewise to see what was going to happen. And Korah and 250 men were there with their incense and with their fire, and they had these plates, brazen plates, brass plates that they used. Probably they used another sort of a container to put this in, because if they put fire in it, it would be hot. They wouldn't be able to hold it. So they must have had some sort of a thing that they put these plates in. And this is what they burned incense in. And they now were all gathered together at the door of the congregation, at the door of the tabernacle. And Moses, he had invited them to this place. And he spoke unto Korah and his company, but the two of the men, Dathan and Abiram, they didn't come. So before that he would put the thing to a test, he sent word to them that they should come. And they answered him by probably someone else or by a note. They didn't come to him. They sent word that they wouldn't come. They said to Moses, "What? You took us out of a land that flowed with milk and honey, and you brought us into this wilderness to kill us. And you haven't brought us into a land that flowed with milk and honey. What do you think? You're going to put out the eyes of these men?" Now they accused Moses of bringing them out of Egypt, a land that flowed with milk and honey. What a lie this was. Because they were down in Egypt, they were slaves down there, and they were crying to God to be brought out of this slavery. And God had brought them out in a wonderful way. They had went through the sea on dry land, and God had given unto them manna from heaven, water out of the rock. He fed them every day. How wonderful God was to these people. And God had promised them that he would bring them into a land that flowed with milk and honey. And by their rebellion now, God had caused them to turn away from this land. 40 years they would have to go through the wilderness because of their sin and their iniquity. And now they turn on Moses, these two men, and say, "We lived in a land that flowed with milk and honey, and you took us out of it and brought us into this wilderness. The only thing that you had in your mind was to kill us in this wilderness." This is what they accused Moses of. How awful they stood up against Moses, these two men, Dathan and Abiram. And now Moses, he fell on his face before God. And God said unto him, "Moses, get up. Get out of this congregation, and I will consume them in a moment." And now him and Aaron, they fell on their faces again in prayer and said, "O God of the flesh, O God, the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, and shall the whole congregation be consumed?" And then God said unto Moses, "Go up to the congregation and tell them to get away from the tabernacles of these wicked men." So Moses, he rose up, and 70 of the elders of Israel went with him. And he went to these people that were by the door of the tabernacle, and he spake unto them, and he says, "Up, get you away from these wicked men, lest ye be consumed in their sins." My dear hearers, we see in this mercy in the midst of well-deserved wrath, the mercy of God towards these wicked people, how that he in his mercy commanded Moses to go up and tell them to get away from the midst of these wicked men, not to touch anything of them, not to be near unto them, lest they would be consumed in their sins. All my hearers, we see in this likewise the sovereignty of God. Of these rebellious people, he left them in their obstinacy. He left them in the hardness of their hearts. But he took care yet of part of the congregation so that they wouldn't be consumed with them. See in this, my dear hearers, how good and kind and gracious God is. Oh, he's a sovereign God. And if he has in his infinite mercy, favor towards anyone, he most certainly will give them repentance. He will cause them to depart from the tents of wickedness. Let me ask you a question. Has he ever come into your life? Have you been given to forsake the ways of sin and iniquity? You could not go on any longer with your former companions that served sin, served the world, served the pleasures thereof. Or you were given to see what the end would be if you continued on in this way. I wish God would give every one of you this grace, my hearers. This is a sign of the grace of God if he has taken you out of the world. He did not let you go on in your wickedness and did not let you go on with others, that you should be consumed in your sins. Oh, what a mercy if this has taken place in your life. Oh, he left these other men in the hardness of their hearts. And how many thousands of poor sinners are left to the hardness of their hearts, who do not listen, who will not listen, who are indifferent, who are careless, who go on in their sins irrespective of the warnings and the pleadings that ministers bring to them. Oh, let me plead with you, my Bible class. Please, don't go on in sin. For sin will be your ruin, sin will be your damnation. I know we all love sin, and I know it's a powerful thing when God puts grace into a person's heart that causes that person to break with sin. But the Lord, he's a merciful God. He has no delight in your death and your destruction. He warns you to turn from your wicked ways. Oh, I would plead with you in the name of God, forsake your sins and live. Plead with him that he might save you from your sins, because sin will be your destruction. Oh, here he made a separation in this congregation. He saved so many that were with these wicked people, not because they were any better, oh no, but it was due to the prayer of Moses. Moses didn't want to see the whole congregation being consumed because of the sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And God was merciful to this congregation. And now these people, they obeyed the commandment of God. That's what I would like you to do. That's what God commands you to do. The people listened to Moses. They went up. They went away from their men. And now Moses, he's standing there. All these 250 men with their censers and Korah, and everybody's eye is upon Moses. What's he going to say? Moses begins to speak to the people, and he says to them, listen, he says, if these men die a natural death, then you can believe that God is not my chooser, did not put me in this work. And if they die the way that all other men die, you may be sure that God has disowned me, that I am not his servant. In this words, he meant, if they were taken away by a plague, or taken away by the sword, or taken away as so many had been taken away already of the Israelites, then it was not Moses that had been chosen by God. But he says, if the Lord do a new thing, if the Lord open the earth, and these men go down quick into the pit, then you will know that I am God's servant, and that by talking against me, you're talking against God and you're talking against me. And now Moses, he no more than had got done talking to these people and telling them about the earth opening its mouth and receiving them, and then God immediately answered. Now there stood Dathan and Abiram and his wife and the other man's wife and their sons and their children. They were standing in the door of their tents. They were just like saying to God, go ahead now, do what you want, show us now. This is the attitude that these men had. And suddenly the ground under them gave way, and they all sank down into the ground. They immediately died and were buried at the same time. So quick this went. Oh, God has so many ways, my dear hearers, of punishing the wicked. And here he showed this was something that had never taken place before and never after. It was unparalleled. It was miraculous that suddenly the ground gave way underneath these people. And they, with all that appertained to Korah, Dathan and Abiram, went down alive into this pit that God opened up. And immediately the earth again closed itself, and these people were taken out of the midst of the congregation. They perished in the sight of all Israel. And when this took place, my hearers, the Bible says that these people, they began to shriek and to shout and to cry for help. But the Israelites that were round about them, they were so afraid that the earth would swallow them up, they couldn't help them. They fled, it says, they ran away to save their own lives. And all these men, they went down into the pit. Oh, how awful this was, my hearers, and how righteous and how just God was. You read that even the children of Dathan and Abiram, they perished with their parents. One would say, what did these little children know about their father's and mother's sins? They didn't know anything about it. But the Bible says that they went down too in the pit. We read of Korah's children, that they were spared. Moses writes that in Numbers 29, verse 13, you can read, and the sons of Korah died not. Further on in the Bible, you read that God even had made choice of these sons of Korah. They even have Psalms in the Bible of Korah. But Dathan and Abiram and their wives and their children, they all went down. And we are sure that God is just in doing this. There is no sin, no iniquity with the God of Israel. This was to prove unto Israel that it was his wrath, that it was his justice in doing this. How awful it must have been for those people that were round about and saw this terrible catastrophe, all these people sinking away. And now we take our eyes back to the tabernacle door. There were these 250 men with their incense in their plates and going to offer up incense unto God. And suddenly fire came out from God and consumed these 250 men. In one moment's time, they were consumed by the fiery indignation and wrath of God. There was nothing left of them, nothing but their censers. There was none of them buried. Only ashes was left. What a terrible thing this was for these 250 men. Immediately they were brought before God, and immediately they were cast forever and ever away with their souls in that awful place called hell. This for being rebellious. This for being with sinners. This teaches us, my hearers, not to go along with sinners, lest ye be consumed in their sins, as these people were. God commanded Moses to speak to Eleazar that he should get these brazen plates, these censers that they used in offering up incense, and that he should scatter the fire and that he should take these brazen plates and make plates for them to cover the altar. And we read that Eliezer went and he took all these censer plates, 250 of them, and he made plates for the altar. There was a wonder that took place amongst these 250 men. And what was that? Aaron was standing with them, and he wasn't smitten. What a wonderful God we have to deal with, my hearers. We would say, if God is for us, who could be against us? There were so many against Moses and against Aaron, but they were consumed in their sins. Oh, Aaron was spared, even in this instance. And now this man Eliezer, he had to do this because God commanded him to do this. This would be a memorial unto the Israelites that no man who was not of the seed of Aaron should attempt to minister unto God. The Israelites were given to find that God had placed these plates there, and it was a warning to them, lest they who were strangers should die like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Oh, my hearers, these people, the Israelites, they had seen much of the God of Israel, seen much of his mercy, but they also saw something now of his wrath and of his judgments. And they fled, every one of them, for fear that they would be consumed. But now the next day, what happens? The congregation came and gathered before Moses and Aaron again. And they said to Moses and to Aaron that they had killed the people of the Lord. What a false accusation. What a lie. As if it was Moses that had killed these people. God had taken vengeance upon these people because of their sins. It was not Moses. And now they accuse Moses of being the murderer of all those people. And now they stood there, and probably they had it in their mind to kill Moses. If possible, this is what they wanted to do. But now this goes to show you, my hearers, that it does not make what a person goes through and what they see of the wrath and of the anger of God, that there's something more necessary shall a person leave his sins. If anyone had seen something like what they saw, you'd think they would be afraid. They were. They were afraid to die, but they were not afraid to meet God. They didn't have any true fear of God in them, not one of them, because the next day they were back again, just like those people had been the day before. Now they had seen what had happened to them, and one would think that they would fear to do something like this. Nothing of the kind. The grace of God is the only method that can change us from sin, from that nature that we all have. For in these people we see a picture of ourselves, for we are no better, my hearers. And now, there they stood before Moses and Aaron. And God came down with the cloud again. And when they seen the cloud come down, maybe that put a damper on what they were going to do. But God came and spake unto Moses again and told him to get up out of the midst of these people, and he would consume them in a moment. And Moses and Aaron, they fell down on their faces. I marvel at this. You know, our nature would say, go ahead, God, do what you want with them. This is me and you. But that wasn't Moses and Aaron. They had been called by God. They had been placed by God over this flock. And they proved that they loved these people. They fell down on their knees and cried to God that he would spare them. Oh, my hearers. That's grace when that takes place. And when they're crying and praying to God that he would not consume them, we find that God's anger already had gone out into the midst of the congregation. Here one fell, there one fell. The plague had begun. The people were falling dead immediately. Oh, God showed his indignation against this congregation. And now Moses, he's seen that this was taking place. So he told Aaron, take a censer, take some fire off the altar, and take incense with you, and go into the midst of them and make an atonement for them. Aaron, against whom they hated, against whom they wanted out of the position as a high priest, who they rebelled against, this man, Aaron, he in love, he took the censer, took the fire, took the incense, and he run in the midst of them. That's something to do. Run in the midst of those that hate you, who wanted to kill you, who wanted to get rid of you. That was a bold move of this man. That showed you that he had love to the Israelites. He ran into the midst of them. And there he stood in the midst of them, in the midst of the dead and the living. They were falling on his left and on his right side. Not just one or two, but thousands of them had been smitten by the hand of God. The plague had begun, it says. Emma and Aaron went into the midst of them and took incense and offered up an atonement unto God for the people. And God took this incense, this offering, he accepted it, and the plague was stayed. Oh, my hearers, this man Aaron is a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all have sinned, my hearers, and we all deserve to die, every one of us. But God has raised up his dear son Jesus and given him as an atonement for sinners, that we should not perish, but that we should live. Unspeakable love from God, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world for this purpose. Oh, what a wonderful type Aaron was of the Lord Jesus Christ, he making an atonement for these sinful people and staying the wrath of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ has stayed the wrath of his Father. He has bore the curse, the wrath of God, on the cross for the greatest of sinners. How wonderful, my hearers, is God in heaven above with his dealings with his people. And now we read distinctly that there were 14,700 people smitten by this plague. That's how many died of the congregation, let alone how many there were of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. There weren't so many. But this was terrible, my hearers. There they had all these people dead, and they had to bury them. What grief, what sorrow there must have been amongst the Israelites. Oh, if you have had someone that died in your family, somebody that you loved and that was dear to you, oh, how much you have mourned, how much sorrow you have experienced. And so likewise, this congregation must have had it brought back to them. It was because of our sins, because of our rebellion, that all these people died. My dear hearers, sin and rebellion against God will be the cause of you perishing eternally. Oh, go not on in your sins. Rebel not against your Maker and your Creator. May you fall down at his feet and beseech him to have mercy and compassion upon you, that you may not perish as the multitude do. There is yet forgiveness by God for the greatest of sinners. Plead with him, and who knows? You have nothing to lose by it. I've often told you this. Nothing at all. Is it too much to ask God to save you? Think of it. And he, in all probabilities, by you asking him, he may save you. The Lord bless our feeble instruction this day to your immortal souls. That's all for today.